But I stayed in Proverbs, and I pulled up some scriptures on praying and prayers that we may lead into or turn to here eventually. But I do want to get into Proverbs again, and I thought I was going to leave it, but I began to look at some things, and I wanted to share this today. And we find in Proverbs that Proverbs describes God to us. And that's good. We find it somewhat, or I find it, and I'm sure you do, encouraging to hear what my God is like and what he's capable of. And so Proverbs, of course, we've talked, is a book about wise living, wise sayings. It often focuses on a person's response and attitude toward that of God, who is the source of wisdom. We shared that a week or so back. Proverbs points out several aspects of God's character to us. Know God helps us on learning God's wisdom and how it will help us. So knowing that God helps us understand him and learn more about him, it helps us as well in the long run. So I want to look at just a few areas here and where God is discussed here. The first one is in Proverbs 15:3. I've got most of my text out of New Living Testament. I've got a little bit of maybe the Passion Translation under some, not all. And we'll go from here, and I'll kind of, let's read through it. Allow the Lord to speak through these things. So in Proverbs 15:3, it talks about God is aware of all that happens. And so as we have that situation we just prayed about overseas, that situation that's happening in our own country, even that situation that is happening in your own personal life, guess what? God is aware of what's happening. It says here, the Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eyes on both the evil and the good. I find comfort in that my God, sovereign as he is, and he's all-knowing and all-present and everywhere, but yet I read it and it helps me to say that he's watching everything that's taking place. So it's no surprise to him of things that happen. In the Passion Translation, it says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, and he takes note of everything that happens. And that has to let us understand, even in our own walk, our own life, that what we do, what we say, whatever, guess who's watching? He's watching us. He's watching you individually. How you respond, why you don't respond, why don't you do this, why do you do that? Whatever the case is, he is watching our response of things. And we'll find in some of these scriptures that he's looking at our heart. And I forgot to bring a book that I had on heart and kind of break it out with all that was. But it's not just the heart. The heart, when the scriptures talk about it, it's the heart, it's the mind, it's all these things that work out of us. It depends on where it's at in the scriptures, if it's the mind, if it's the heart. But we know a lot of things he talks, and we'll find it and read it here in some areas of the heart. And Hebrews 4:13, in the New Living, it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. Hebrews 4:13. See, there is an accountability that we each bear. We're not going through this life, you know, just happy and free and que sera, sera. Our actions have ramifications. Our actions will be looked at by that of God. And how we handle ourselves and how we present the things, especially of that of God and his kingdom, to those around us. Especially, you look at these churches over there now in the surrounding countries of Ukraine, and even within Ukraine itself, there's a lot of Christian churches. I can't remember, I heard a count of, I think I turned to Samaritan's Purse and was listening to Franklin Graham discuss some things on their ministry outreach into that area now with humanitarian aid. And he says, prior to weeks, he said, just I was listening to this, and I think it's like, he said, 3 weeks back, we had just delivered the shoebox Christmas things to the Ukrainian churches to hand out to the Ukrainian children. So about 3 weeks before this all happened, that was handed out. But he said they work with about almost 3,000 churches in Ukraine. I mean, it's not a big country. I mean, you look at it. But there's a large amount of Christian entity there in our surrounding areas as well. And don't you think God is going to get the glory, you know, and these people are coming into these things and trying to get the resources into those places. But anyway, we are accountable. So nothing in the creation is ever hidden from God. We are accountable. We may think at times that God has let evil run rampant. Don't we think that sometimes? How people get on us sometimes, like, how did that guy get over on me? Or how did this happen to me? How did that? It feels like evil won. And maybe at that point they may have won in our vernacular of what winning is. But we may think at times that God has let evil run rampant. We wonder if he even notices. But God sees everything. One day, he will wipe out evil and punish the evildoers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They can run, but they can't hide. And so as we go through life, and many times we get to that point, like, I don't understand this, God, how this situation or this group or that entity, they're evil, but they look like they're succeeding. They're accomplishing what they want, but they're evil. I don't understand that, God. But know this, that God sees that, and he will deal with it accordingly when the time is on his time schedule and what he's got planned for that. God knows the heart of all people, good people and bad people, all people. We look at that in 15:11. This is all Proverbs 15:11. Even death and destruction hold no secrets from the Lord. How much more does he know the human heart? He looks into what? Our heart, our being, our thoughts, our makeup. 16:2 says in Proverbs, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Always make sure your motives are right, you know. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Lord, by that of the Holy Spirit, help me know that my motives are right in what I want to do or what I want to accomplish. Let it not be just so it's for me. Let it be that it's for what? Your kingdom, your situation, what you want talked about, what you want brought to light, whatever the case might be. And you know what, folks? Life is fun serving God. Some people think to serve God, it's got to be pretty like, well, all fun's gone now. We got to be, you know, goody two-shoes. No, God likes to laugh. God likes to laugh. The old thing would say, if you don't think so, look at your neighbor and look how funny they look, you know. But we look in our own eyes and we try to gauge ourselves. Or else we look at the other person around us and we go, well, I'm better than that at least. Are you really? Are you really gauging your whatever it is over somebody else that what you're looking at is maybe somebody that's not even a child of God? Maybe you're looking at somebody that says they're a child of God, but by their actions you kind of wonder sometimes, by their fruit and things of that nature. But never compare yourself to someone else. Compare yourself to God's Word and what God's Word says he wants out of you or what he expects out of his people. And if we can just focus on me, if you can just focus on you, guess what? It'll all be good. Now, that's when we look at and trying to make it feel good as far as, well, I'm not as bad as that, or at least I'm doing this and look what they're not doing type thing. So we always look at ourselves in our own eyes, but God, he examines the motives of the person. Before you put a plan into action, what we need to do is ask this. Is this plan in harmony with God's truth? Will this work under a real life condition or circumstance? Is my attitude pleasing to God? If we can begin to ask just a few short questions, is how does my God receive this? What does my God think of this that I'm about to do? Will it bring, like what Jesus would always say, does it bring honor and glory to him? Or does it put him in a bad light to someone that may look to him and saying, I don't want any type or part of that God, if that's the person that says they're following that God and the way they respond to things. They need to see a difference in us. As God looks at our heart, the people are looking at us on the outside, trying to look at how we are handling things and situations. In 21:2, people may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their heart. Here again, their heart. And that's why I was going to read the heart in a biblical way of what this heart is talking about. And I should have wrote a little paper note off to the side, but it's the thoughts, it's your mind, it's your heart, it's your being. It's the substance within you. How are you as far as the heart of that person, their actions, what they say or not say? The Passion says, we may think, and this is 21 verse 2, the Passion says, we may think we're right all the time. Anybody here think you're right all the time? But God thoroughly examines our motives. And if we are serving God, our God, and he's continually looking at Tim's heart, that means Tim's got to really keep his mind on what his heart's about, his mind, his thoughts, his actions, his motives, you know. We get very dangerous when we get into that part to where I want to do this so it amplifies this of what I'm doing and it promotes me to do that. And pretty soon people will see what a great big this or that that this person has done. Wow, aren't they talented? Aren't they smart? Aren't they charismatic? That's that word. But it is what you think of is like, what is God looking at? What is God thinking of? What does he want me to do, you to do? How does he want you to respond and act and be showing his love and his compassion and all of that to the people around us? I think that's why when you look at situations when people are going through sad, difficult times, I mean, it gets to that point where we have that empathy with that when we see people being torn and lives being destroyed and lives being killed, that it's like, oh my gosh, Lord, even though I'm not there, it's like I'm there and it's like I know those people, like they're blood relatives, you know? Well, hey, if there were Christians over there, probably they could be. Well, part of the family of God over in Ukraine, we don't know. But we have that in us, and hopefully we can always get to that part to where it does something to us when we see someone in suffering, and that we are not jaded and just say, oh, well, that's life, and we'll just go on, you know? We end up developing some receptors in us that try to keep us separated from that so that we can function, so we think. But we get to the point to where it's just another day at the office. It happens all the time. You know, we come and we go. Well, yes, we do. We are born to die. But when somebody dies, it should feel like, oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry to wonder what that person, that family is going through. God, remember, these are things describing God, Proverbs, controls all things. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. I need somebody to control all things. Do you think, like, this world's out of control? You know, we think Putin can, you know, he's got the control over this, and, you know, our government's got the control over that, you know. No. God ultimately has control over all of these things, and it's just a matter of time, amen, and where we're at in this time of what he's got for us to do. We are to be what? Sharing the gospel, getting people ready for eternity. Don't look at the situation over there or over here or up there or down there. Where are you at with that of God in your life? Have you been receiving Christ, or have you received Christ to know you're going to spend eternity? And where we'll get here, we'll find out at some of these things, all this that we go through in this life, and even if we still go through suffering and we're not healed on this side of heaven, the one thing that we've got that nobody else has if they don't have Christ as their Lord and Savior is when we go home, we will be in glory. We will be in eternity, and there will be no war. There will be no sicknesses and pain and suffering. Well, anyway, he controls all things. 1633. New Living has it this way. We may throw the dice. It says here that we may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. Hebrews would say this, we may cast lots. but the Lord determines how they fall. You know, we think we control this. We think we've got it. We got the mojo or whatever to do these things. And comes out in our favor, or we'll come out the winner. But it's all up to God. 21:30 says, no human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord. Remember, this is saying that God controls all things. No human wisdom, understanding, or plan can stand against the Lord. Even what Putin is doing over there will not stand against that of the Lord. Now, there's going to be innocent lives taken, and there already has, and there'll be by the thousands. It's sad. It's like, well, don't you think we'd say, well, come on, God, if this is all in your hand and you can take care of evil and do this, can't you just snuff him out? You know, he could. Don't you believe that? He could. But it's not his time. And then we might try to question God, like, well, when is it going to be your time, God? Like, how many more people have to suffer? How many wars does there have to be? What is going on? And we never know how God works, and we work at things, and he works through people, and we don't know what how he will handle situations. Ultimately, we do know that when this all ends, it'll be with the sound of a trumpet. So if it's ready for him to come back and blow that horn, hey, there you go. It'll change everything all right, you know. But it's all still in God's hands. And if you trust God, believe in God, have your hope in God, you've got to trust him and say, I don't understand it. But like we've said before, I think somebody had shared, in the scriptures, it doesn't say anywhere, and it says, I ask that you understand me. It says, trust me. Can I trust you? We can trust God. We can trust God. In 21:30, no human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord. Here again, in Proverbs 16:33, Lord determines how they fall when you cast lots. 21:30, no plan can stand against the Lord. No human wisdom, no human understanding. We read in scriptures many times, and especially in the Old Testament, on the many times that the Israelites were fleeing and going to or trying to get into the promised land, and all the things that developed and all the things that happened, and how God was there and how God provided and how God made a way where there seemed to be no way. How he took the enemies that were against the children of Israel and turned them upon themselves and all of these things. And even though, like when they sent out spies and a couple of them came back, you know, one said, let's go, we can do it. And the other one says, I don't know if we can, you know. It's like today in 2022, you've got to understand that with God on your side, you will accomplish whatever it is that he has set you to do. We'll find that out here in just a little bit. So remember, no human wisdom or understanding can plan or stand against that of God or the Lord. There's a wonderful story in Acts, in the New Testament, Acts 5. In Acts 5, it begins here, and I'm going to go up and start in, I think, 17. And it says here, the high priest, Acts 5:17, the high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and they put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail and brought them out. And then he told them, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told. And immediately they began to what? Teach. Woo! Hallelujah! And when the high priest and his officials arrived, they convened the high council. So these guys are out preaching already, right? Now the high priest and his officials, they arrived, they convened the high council and the full assembly of the elders of Israel. Then they sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail for trial. But when the temple guards went to the jail, the men were gone. What? Here they got their courts all set up. Bring them on, we're going to, you know, have court against them. So these guys, the temple guards, go and they go, uh-oh. So they return to the council and they report, the jail was securely locked with the guard still standing outside. But when we opened the gates, no one was there. And when the captain of the temple guard and the leading priest heard this, they were perplexed. God will do things that will perplex your enemy. wondering where it would all end. And then someone arrived. This is living, reading out of the New Living. Then someone arrived with startling news. The men that you put in jail are standing in the temple teaching the people. They're doing what they were put in the jail for doing. What's going on? Then the captain with his temple guards and verse 26, the captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles. Again, I guess. It doesn't say that. I just added that. But without violence, for they were afraid of the people who would stone them. And then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. And they'll say, didn't we tell you never again to teach in this man's name, Jesus? I don't want to hear it. Don't bring his name up in anything. Didn't we tell you never to teach in this man's name? He demanded. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teachings about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death? But Peter and the apostle replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, and after you killed him by hanging him on the cross, then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as Prince and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. So the council, they get upset. They decide to kill him. So there they are. They're thrown in jail. Got out. Now they're finally brought back before the council, and they're pretty upset. So one of these people say this in verse 38. Gamaliel, he was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people. He stood up, and he ordered the men to be sent outside the council chambers for a while. Then he says to his colleagues, men of Israel, take care of what you are planning. And he goes on to say this, my advice is to leave these men alone, verse 38. You can read a little thing about that before that, but when God is in the midst of something, when God is in the mix, you're not going to change it. So whatever God's got going on, and as God has told us to do something, or he's planned you to do this, or he's told you to do that, he will help you. He will make that happen. And he's saying, so my advice, and he's talking to these other people on that council, is to leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be what? Overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves what? Fighting against God. So they accepted his advice. They called in the apostles, had them flogged, ordered them to never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, what did they do? They continue to share and preach about Jesus. You can flog me. You can do this. Tell me to get out. And they still went on doing what God had put them to do, and that of sharing that of Christ. So we find that as we look at this, that no human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against that of the Lord. So when God has given you something to do, and you might come against what? Adversity. You may not be thrown into a prison or a jail, but it's adversity, and you're struggling, and you're wondering, like, I'm fighting this out. I don't know. Is it truly what God wants me to do? It just seems like the more I try to do it, the more this entity comes against me or this comes at me. What we've got to understand and fall back on is, I'm going to tell you, if God's told you to do something, do it. You're under a problem, you're under adversity, do it. Do whatever it is, let the adversity come and go. You might be flogged, whatever that would be in today's vernacular of how, whatever you feel like you're going through adversity, but continue to do it, and God will what? Reward you. Now, he's also a place for safety in 18:10, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress, the godly run to him and are safe. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody run to God? Anybody felt safe there? Praise God. I want to turn, so as we looked at this real quick, that he's a place of safety. And 18:10, He's a strong fortress. The godly, they run to him. I want to turn to Psalms 91. Psalms 91 says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Oh, though 1,000 fall at your side, and though 10,000 are dying around you, the evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. And they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Now, when I read that little thing from Nate about that one Ukrainian soldier saying, it seems like these bullets are going by us and these shells are passing by us and things like that. And when we've got to make a decision on something, it seems like we know what to do at the right time. Woo! It's 91, Psalms 91. "For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go." Verse 12, "They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet." Verse 14, "The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble." Anybody in trouble right now? Going through trouble, going through pain, going through heartache, going through a situation? Yes. "I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation." Ooh, my. Read 91 every once in a while, guys. Thank you, Lord. He rescues good people from danger. And 11:8, Proverbs 11:8, "The godly are rescued from trouble, and it falls on the wicked instead." Hallelujah. God's people are not excluded, though, from problems or struggles. Anybody in here ever been free of problems, struggles? You've had the last 10 years, no problems, no struggles? Wow. We are not excluded from them, but God will rescue us from it. Even if we suffer, and here's it is, and this is the thing, as children of God, children of his kingdom, knowing where eternity lies for us, it's this. He grants, even if we suffer here ultimately, as we suffer on this side of heaven, we will be rescued from eternal death. When we walk this walk with God, we've got to understand it takes in more than just the natural and where we're at now. The natural and where we're at now is what? Where we're at now. But the thing is where is the eternity going to lie? Heaven or hell? God's word says there's only two places that you're going to go to. And as a child of God, when you know you've got eternity planned in heaven, where there is no sickness, there is no heartache, there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is nothing that you've experienced, even the best love that you have felt on this earth is minuscule to the love that you will feel in heaven. It's such a love. Such a love. Thank you, Lord. But the love that you will experience in heaven, and I'm not saying I'm going tomorrow or I'm going this afternoon because that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be, yes. But I also want to, I have to reaffirm it, even for myself. And you hear it again and again and again. But I want to stay here as long as God wants me to stay here to share his good news. If we don't have somebody here to share his good news, who's going to hear it? How are we going to help those that are outside in darkness, going down that path of destruction, if we don't take the ground, if we don't come and exhort and pray and do and pray for them. And in the areas of praying, and we may get here, I think I've just got something here about that too. But we're here for a purpose. Fulfill that purpose. I guess even if it's, you know, there's times my feet begin to hurt at times, or my knee, or this or that, and it's like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do this. How much more do I need? Then all of a sudden, it works its way out, and I'm okay for, you know, a few weeks, and then you go back down, and then you get back up, and it's like, oh my goodness. But while we're here, and you got breath, you can do something for the Lord. Share a scripture, pray, if nothing else, pray. Intercessor, you know, pray. But we're all here for a purpose. But our ultimate thing is eternity, where you're going to be with that. Evil people in 11:21, evil people will surely be punished, but the children of God, the godly, will go free. And then we're getting close to just about wrapping it up here. Delights in our prayers. Do you know that God likes your prayers? You're talking to him. You're taking time with him. Remember, we already know he knows what's going on. He knows your situation. He knows your health. He knows your hurt knee. He knows you got a hangnail, you know. He knows this. He knows all of these things. But just to pray and talk with him, he delights in our prayers. In 15:8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but he delights in the prayers of the upright. The prayers of the upright. The prayers that are intercession type prayers or supplication prayers. Supplication is to plead humbly, to ask humbly and to ask earnestly, or supplication to him as we plead these things out. Also in 15:29, it says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. These things that we're reading here about my God, it seems like he's closer to me than he is to those of the wicked. And he's closer to his children, and he will help us through these times. Even though the wicked is around us, he's hearing our prayers. He's taking care and seeing us. In Psalms 145, 18 to 19, in Psalms 145, 18 to 19, talking about delights in our prayers, the Lord is close to all who call upon him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. God loves those who obey him. 15:9, the Lord detests the ways of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue godliness. Proverbs 22:12, the Lord preserves those with knowledge, but he ruins the plans of the treacherous. He will, even though the enemy has a plan, he could cause it to come apart. He could cause it to come unraveled, turn upon themselves, like he did in some of those instances in the Old Testament. Knowledge refers to those who have knowledge, those who live right and speak the truth. It takes discipline, determination, and hard work to live God's way, doesn't it? It's not easy. Anybody here says it's easy to be a follower of God? It's work. It takes us constantly guarding ourselves and monitoring ourselves and monitoring our thoughts and monitoring our heart and what's taking place and how am I to do, how am I to say, what's this, what's that. It takes discipline, determination, and hard work to live God's way. But he will be there for you to help you do those things. The unfaithful, though, they may seem to have an easier time. But in the long run, their plans will fail. We've got to believe that, and we come to an understanding of that. And then as we shut down and close out with this one last thing, remember, this is what Proverbs describes God about and what God is about. He purifies hearts. In 17:3, in Proverbs 17:3, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. And it's as heat purifies precious metals, God purifies our heart by adversity. Adversity is that heat that's purifying you. The Passion says, in the same way gold and silver are refined by fire, the Lord purifies your heart by the test and trials of life. Do you think that's a pretty good test? Because remember, we've always said, anybody can praise him when everything's going good. When you got everything you need and there's no this or that and everything's good and positive and, you know, it's great, praise God. But when sickness comes, or you don't have money for this, or a car breaks down, or this happens here or that, are you still able to go, praise God? Praise God. Remember that this is like purifying. It's the test and trials of life. In our trials, God shows us what's in us. When you're going through a trial and a hard time and a situation, whatever it is, take a look at yourself and do a quick checkup and say, like, whoa, how did I handle that? How or what did I allow that to do to my spirit? What did I say or do that? What did I allow to do with my relationship with my God? Did this bill that came and I couldn't pay it, did it take me away from God, or did I go to God in prayer? This illness and sickness, did it bring me closer to God, or did it drive me away? These trials and things that we go through, and I look out among many here, and I can tell there's trials and tragedies and hardships from this side of the room to that side of the room. But praise God, you're here on a Sunday morning hearing the Word of God. I pray to be encouraged. I pray that it touches your spirit in a way that addresses a situation that maybe you're in or going through or possibly will come into. But yet we will always default back to that of God as being our provider, our source, and our way. And that nothing that the enemy throws at us is going to destroy my relationship with him. He may come, he may try. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness as he came out of that, but he survived that. You got to tell the devil to get behind you, get out of here, quit tempting me. I'm going to follow my God. But anyway, we find that the Lord purifies our heart by the tests and trials of life. In our trials, God shows us what is in us. Trials will test your faith. You will begin to see how strong and how pure your faith is. Or what's the other flip side of that? That trial will show you how maybe weak your faith is in that particular area or that situation or wherever that might be. But it's to look at and say, and that's, you know, when things happen to me, I say, okay, Lord, what am I to learn from this? And I want to learn it the first time, but I don't always. Anybody else is like, okay, another time. But be quick when those things happen that you ask God, this is not a good time, Lord, but what am I to learn from this? What do you want me to take from this so it'll help me in the future? As we look at this in 1 Peter 1:7, the last scripture here in New Living, 1 Peter 1:7, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. You know, he doesn't want fake faith. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on that day when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. Hallelujah. Wow. Stand strong in your faith. Stand strong in those trials and those times that are going. And please, 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 when you're going through a trial and it's beating you down, ask God for his help. When you're weak, I'm strong. When you don't have the answer, God will say, I've got the answer. Would you just listen to me? How many times do I have to tell you, this is what I want you to do, or this is what I think you should do, or this is what I want you to do. And sometimes we don't hear that because we're talking too much. So sometimes it's just best to go nip it. I love my one guy on Andy Griffith, Barney Fife. You know, him and Andy get into things, or him and Floyd or whatever, and old Barney goes, nip it, nip it, nip it. When you're going through something, God's trying to talk to you, nip it. That tells you, that's short for saying shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Open your ears and listen. And that's what we've got to do with God. We've got to be careful that the distractions of this world, distractions of this life, could take us away from hearing those daily communications with that of God. We've got to stay in tune to him. We've got to be in prayer for these situations, but never let those situations take you away from that of God and your time with God and that personal time of just saying, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I got to go back to that simple two words. that I it stuck with me all that time from several weeks back. My God, my God, my God. To me, it calms a rough sea. Just when I say, my God, my God, my God. Why is that? Because what I'm doing is I'm hearing it myself. It's not for anything else. It's not for you. It's not for anything in the situation. But it is what? It is for my spirit to hear that resonate, that truly he is my God. Never to leave me. Never forsake me. To be there with me. To go through that fire. All of these things. My God. My God. Amen. So what we looked at today was just like how Proverbs describes God to us. We may look in next week what our response should be to God. And it's all in there in Proverbs. Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.